this homeless situation, and I believe services are not sufficient. There has to be also enforcement, because a lot of the homeless are basically lifestyle homeless.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Larry McEntee at Home Team. This is Home Time brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. Home Team Inspection Service is a home inspection business owned by me in North Jersey, and you can reach us at 973-547-7748, or you can always email me at lmcentee, that's L-M-C-E-N-T-E-E, at hometeam.com. We perform all kinds of inspections, and we help you buy your home, and we tell the story of the house, and we protect you. The idea is to know what you're buying. Every house has a story. I don't care if it's a day old or 100 years old. They all have stories, and you really want to know what that story is. And the average home buyer, believe it or not, will spend less time in the house they're going to buy than a car they're going to buy. Doesn't that seem a little ridiculous? You're going to buy a house that's the biggest singles investment of your life, and you'll spend 20 minutes, usually two or three times, and you never really dig into it because you don't want to go through people's closets or climb into their attic or crawl into their crawl space. And then that's the reason you hire me, because my guys and myself, we'll get into that crawl space. We'll crawl up in that attic. I was in an attic the other day. It was 220 degrees in the attic. I think I come out a few pounds lighter. But that's what Home Team does. My guest today is Tammy Wysocki, and we're going to talk about furniture. But first, I'm going to talk to you a little bit, you know, as I do every week, a little bit about myself. We were off last week for the 4th of July, and I want to talk about parents today a little bit. And it got kind of melancholy this week because, you know, my parents have been gone for a little while, and my father's been gone, and I always find myself thinking about my father when he was my age. And it's funny because the last generation did things so much earlier. My father was a grandfather by the time he was my age, and he had raised five kids, and I still don't know how he did it because, you know, I look back at some of his tax returns, and I'm saying, I don't know, how do you buy food? You know, I swear to God, it was like they were miracle workers. And, you know, my mother lived with the same kitchen for 40 years. I mean, she died with the same kitchen, and she never got anything renovated because she was too busy putting food on the table. But the last generation is a great generation. And had a story from a friend this week, and she was talking about how she happened to have lunch with a woman, and then she found out that she was a Holocaust survivor, and she was glued to her seat. And I think those are great stories because I think we have to remember to tell them again because I think we forget. I spent an hour and a half in the hospital a couple of months ago. My father-in-law had a heart procedure, and the surgeon happened to be in the hospital when we took him there, and his father was waiting in the lobby for him, and he was a 90-year-old man, and he was a B-17 pilot, and he flew like a dozen missions over to Germany in World War II, and he was shot down by friendly fire. So he got shot down by Allied gunners over Belgium, and he crash-landed, and him and his 12 members, I think it was 12 members of his crew, actually all landed safely. Well, they crash-landed, but they all survived. And he actually wrote Lockheed a thank you letter many years ago for building such a great plane that it stayed together, even though it was missing three engines. Spent 5 years in the Stalag, and it was a prisoner of war. Now, I'm sitting there in the hospital. My father's having a heart procedure, and I'm sitting there glued to my seat talking to this man. And I'm wondering how much is true and how much is not. And I kind of slyly on my iPad just put his name in, and it comes up in the Smithsonian, and he's written up because he's one of the last B-17 pilots. And so now I'm glued to him. You know, every word he says, I'm like on bated breath. And the only thing I could think of is, why aren't my kids here? Because my kids need to hear that message. Hold on. I got to start my Facebook. I forgot to. So the bummer is that some of the people on Facebook just missed my part, but that's okay. You live and learn, guys. But this man was, you know, and it reminded me of the story that my friend told me, Dale, about this Holocaust survivor. And I said, you know, we got to remember to tell these stories, and we got to tell our kids, and we got to get our kids in front of these people, because truly that was a great, you know, they call them the greatest generation ever. And I truly believe they were, because they're so responsible for where we are today and why we're still independent, why we still have what we have, and because they gave everything they had for us, and they do it again. And I was touched that day, and you know, it was sad because he's passed away since then. But and his son is a heart surgeon, and when you think about it, he survived that Stalag, and then he gave birth. Then he had a son who later became a heart surgeon, who's responsible for hundreds of lives today. And think of what would happen if he got shot down and he didn't survive. And, you know, he ended with telling me the story about how Patton liberated his Stalag, and he walked through the gates in his cropped pants, you know, those like the riding pants with pearl handled revolvers. So he says it was just like the movies. And he says, don't let anybody tell you different. That's just the way he was, with a big grin on his face and a cigar in his hand and shaking everybody's hand. And he said, and I felt like a 20-year-old kid again. and he had lost like 40 pounds or something. And so, I mean, those are some great stories, guys. And, you know, if you hear somebody like that and you do, listen to them. Take note of it. Let your kids hear it. And lest we forget. I mean, it's too easy to forget what we came through to get here. And especially with what's going on today is people just take for granted what we have, and they should realize it. So we're going to do a couple commercials. We're going to do weather. And then I'm going to get back here with Tammy, a longtime friend of mine, and a blast. So, I mean, I think we'll run out of time today before we finish talking. But I'll be back in a couple seconds with the weather, and then we'll do the rest of it. Thanks.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
All right, we got a great weekend for you guys. Today is going to be 87 and partly sunny. Tomorrow, 88 and sunny. Sunday, 87 and sunny. Monday, partly sunny and sunny. We're looking at 88, 87, 85 for the next 3 days. Guys, we're going to have a weekend that we really need. Get out there and do the things you want to do because, you know, this has been a while. There's rain this week. I don't know if you saw the rain yesterday, but I was driving up in Wawa. I thought it was going to float away. I actually parked the truck in a parking lot and got a burger and sat there and had dinner. I was just afraid to drive. I was in an area where I'm not familiar with, and all I could picture is those guys in, like, Georgia on the roofs of their cars, you know. So it's funny how that works. But the weather's going to be beautiful the next couple of days. So let's make sure you get out there. Make sure you take advantage of it. We're going to be back in like 30 seconds with Tammy, so stay with me.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Okay, we're back. My name is Larry McEntee with Home Team, and today with me is Tammy Wysocki. Now, Tammy, just goes to show you that, I did a session on Friends one day, and I met Tammy many, many years ago, probably about 30 years now, right before she got married, actually, right before you got married, because you weren't married when I met Chris. And she's married to one of my first customers, and actually he's really responsible for some of my early success because he actually worked for me as a consultant, made me a lot of money over the years, and he did a lot of work, and I did a lot of work for him and his company. And Chris was always good. He was one of those guys that the customer that, you know, even though if you had a problem, you call him and you tell him what he want, and he'd help you out, and he'd make you look good to your other customers. So, and then I met Tammy once he got married to Tammy, and that was the best thing he ever did. But that's like most of us. I always say men are smart because we marry up. We all marry up. I mean, the smart men do anyway. And Tammy's here. I'm going to let Tammy explain what she's going to talk about today. But let's listen to this. And it's about furniture. And Tammy, maybe you can explain what you do and what we're going to talk about today.
Okay, sounds great. And thank you so much for having me. My name is Tammy, and what I am about is home interior furnishings, and I work in Essex, Morris counties primarily, and what I like to do is help out my clients when it comes to purchasing of furnishings in their homes as well as project coordination. So for clients that are extremely busy going in and out of the city, what I am is an additional hand for them. So when it comes to paint contractors, building contractors, tilers, I'm the person that can coordinate that for my clients when need be. Okay. And I work out of a furniture store in the Green Brook area, and just have a blast meeting new people. And I, too, appreciate Larry and Lynn. We have known each other for 30 years, and really have had just a blast. Love their family. And I did have the honor of meeting your parents, and it was a while back. But it's the beauty of Jersey. Great people in New Jersey. That's why people still move here.
Yeah.
And we're seated in a very nice town right now. Never been here, I must admit. But it is, Hunterdon is, you know, quite a beautiful town.
Yeah, just so you know, we're in downtown Flemington at that Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Timmy, I mean...
I'm glad I know where I am.
Well, you found the place. That's okay.
Thank God.
You talked about furniture, and you know, and most people think all furniture is the same, and I got a lesson from my wife because she explains to me how furniture is not the same, and, you know, we bought furniture, and we probably bought furniture that's too big for the room because it makes you feel stuffy in a sense, even though it's nice furniture, but it's not the right furniture. And it's funny because now that I'm in hundreds of homes a year, I see that, and I can walk into a house and I see when I see good furniture, and I don't pay attention to style or anything, but when I see good furniture, it's a different feel than when you see the wrong furniture.
You know, you definitely know. What our business is about is fit, comfort, and proportion. So these days you can have off the floor, cheap, inexpensive furniture, and it's going to last you a year. Or you can buy quality. And quality means old style selection of legs, stuffing, the actual components that go into the seat, arms, and fabrics. And what I do is really size up the person. So when you come in, let's say you want to buy a sofa. You walk in, we're talking, I'm making notes, I'm listening to how you want to use the room. Tell me what you want to do in this space.
So when I tell you that I'm going to lay down on the couch and watch football games every Sunday, you're taking that into consideration, because the one thing I can't stand is that when that couch looks good, but then I can't lay on it because it's the most uncomfortable thing in the world to watch the game on.
Absolutely. And I want you to lay down, have a seat on the chairs, on the sofas. Use it as you would if you had it in your own home, including your family, including the vision or the we can simulate what the TV location would look like, where you would feel comfortable using your remote control and looking at the 90-inch TV that you now want to purchase.
68-inch right now. I wanted the bigger one, but the space over the fireplace wouldn't allow it.
We could just move to a drive-in.
Well, you know, the only trouble is the best seat in the house is my chair because it's like 22 feet right from the set. Everybody else has got like a neck crick, and you know, they're seeing half the screen.
Oh, that's awfully nice of you.
But I have the perfect view and the perfect surround sound for me.
It's the king's chair.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny is everybody bitches about my chair, but when I'm not there, there's always somebody in it. So how come they all bitch about it, but you know what? They all want to sit in it when I'm not around. But
it's broken in.
But they do know when I come in, whoever's in it gets out of it.
Oh, that's nice.
They don't have a choice.
Oh, my.
And I have become my father in that instance because that's the way my father was.
right in the middle. I think our dog actually took over the best spot on the sofa now, which is awful.
By the way, her dog's only got one eye, so he has to have the perfect view.
And this remote control, it's all good. I'm going to teach him how to open a beer, and he'll be fine.
And I believe that dog, Roscoe, right?
You're
right.
Roscoe, yes.
He's a great dog.
He is a good dog.
He just definitely has a different personality.
Yeah. He listens, he knows, and he has the best schnozola around, that's for sure.
And you guys were great taking him in.
Because
I think he was doomed for not a good outcome if somebody didn't take him.
He was a bait dog in Virginia. And they,
for fighting dogs?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they found him wandering the streets. A veterinarian found him and picked him up, and he lost his eye, unfortunately. But he's great. We adopted him, and he's...
And that's just a little side story, guys, because, I mean, I thought it was the funniest thing when I first saw that dog. I laughed my ass off because he kind of runs crooked. The one eye makes him kind of run sideways.
He does. His tail's bent.
But you know what? He's perfect for the Weiss hockey household, and I tell you that. You have to trust me on that one.
When we first got him, we have a left-turning staircase, and he's missing his left eye, so he followed me up to go left, and he stopped, turned around, went right, and came back down. He had no idea he could go left. Yeah, it was very cute.
There's some people I know like that, though. And they're not missing an eye, but that's all right.
That's great.
So let me tell you, tell us a little bit more about, like so your clients come in and you help them. I mean, basically you listen to what they want. And you know what? That sounds like any good salesman. And actually, your husband taught me that very early on. Is you go in and you ask questions, you listen, you take notes, you solve the problem. You're not selling. You're solving problems.
You're solving the problem. Exactly.
And people don't even know you're doing it if you do it right.
You approach it as a designer, because that's exactly what they're looking for. When folks come in, they're ready to invest a lot of money, and you have to listen. You have to see how they're going to use this piece of furniture, this dresser, this entertainment unit. Is this for a huge family? Is it for just a couple folks? You just have to listen, and once you listen and you make note, the deal's over. You know, it's the deal's done. They're happy. They have a great delivery.
So let me ask you. I mean, I used to think of furniture as something that lasts forever, but really furniture's changed a lot with the flat screen TV, right?
That flat screen TV?
No, because I mean, I can think of even the furniture I had. We had a nice bookcases with a deep cabinet, you know, for the middle, and it was useless once we got the flat screen because the TV didn't fit in it, and it didn't. Now you didn't want all that wood because the TV was flat and slimlined. So that really changed it, you know. And you know, one thing I don't see on TV, and maybe I'd like to hear your opinion on it. I watch HGTV, and I always say to my wife when they show the room when they're done, there's no TV, and I said, where's the TV? Because you know what? They're showing a family room, but because of design-wise, it doesn't look good to put the TV on. Mm. So they show you the room, and it's got like, you know. And I said, where are they going to put the TV? And she goes, well, maybe there's no TV. I said, come on. It's a family room. There's going to be a TV in there. We know it's going to be
exactly there.
Exactly. Where they put it, you know. And
it, a lot of them are concealed now by canvases.
Okay.
It could be a painting. It could be encased in a weathered, it may look like shiplap,
right,
like a design. So then it just slides back, like barn doors.
They've done that sometimes, but sometimes they don't even show you it. You know, they don't even show you where. There will be one, I'm saying, I guarantee there's a TV. They're going to take that painting down and they're going to put a TV there as soon as this shoot is over.
Yeah, because I think TVs, I mean, flat screens, they are still popular, but all of our kids are using laptops or they're using the iPads.
Which is crazy because we went from a small screen to a huge screen. So
we're back to a small screen.
Now my kid's downstairs, he's got a 68-inch screen for his game down there, and he's watching TV on his phone.
Oh, my God. That's great. I love that.
It's ludicrous. I mean, it's truly
ludicrous.
Soon
we're going to have hardwired phones again.
Well, you laugh, but my phone's in my house. I keep threatening to put strings on the handsets because I can never find them. They're never in the chargers, and when it's ringing, you can't find the damn one to answer.
Oh, my God. You may have something there. That's great.
I told them I'm going to put strings on my phone. My kids looked at me like I was strange. I said, well, that's the way it used to be.
Yeah, exactly. Let the handset drop to untangle it.
Exactly.
That's
exactly
great.
And I tell the story of my mother. She had a turquoise kitchen, and she wanted a new phone. And you remember when you didn't own the phone, the phone company did, and they said, well, we won't replace it unless it's broken. And so she took it. She threw the handset on the ground until it broke. Then she called and said, my handset's broken. They came out and gave her a yellow phone.
And now turquoise, you know.
Yeah, go
we
on.
All want the turquoise.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well.
That's great. Full circle.
Yeah. The kitchen was turquoise. And it was the hideous turquoise you've ever seen.
Oh, really? But. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Old homes and the need for inspection. I almost think that you should have an inspection before you sell your home so that you know what has to be repaired. Before you
I do sellers inspections.
You do.
And some agents almost require it, or they ask the sellers to have one, especially the bigger homes, because this way they don't get snake bit at closing. I mean, because the cost of closing is huge. And if you get it a week before it, and if you're buying another house and all of a sudden you get a, you know, an inspection and they find mold in the attic that has to be remediated, now you're back 3 weeks.
Oh,
guess what? That costs you thousands of dollars. It costs you more than probably the remediation does. So a lot of people are pushing the sellers. The downside of the sellers inspection, tell you the truth, in New Jersey, if I do an inspection for a fee, I still have to do a full inspection. I can't do – some states allow you to do a walkthrough and just point out things that have to be fixed. New Jersey, if I take dollars for it, I still have to do a full inspection. You have to get a written report, and I'm still on the hook for everything that I miss. So it's pretty serious, and I can guarantee you if a home inspector is doing an inspection on a house that's been inspected, he's going to find something I missed. It's almost inevitable that you'll miss something. Hopefully it's not serious, but it can be, you know. But the other thing is also becomes part of disclosure. If you're the seller and you don't know that you have mold in the attic, you don't disclose it. If I tell you you got mold in the attic, you're required to put that down on your seller's disclosure that there's, and I can't tell you there's mold because it has to be tested, but if I tell you there's mold-like material, you're almost obligated to disclose that.
Well, why wouldn't you, really?
Well, you'd be surprised. A realtor told me once, people don't lie, but they don't offer the truth either. So if they can plead ignorance and they don't know or... I don't know. You know, then they can play it. But if I tell them, then they know.
So let's say we're putting our house on the market and our next year. And we wanted to start fixing up the obvious things besides, well, obvious being painting. But I want to look at the floors. I want to look at the basement because it's such an old basement, dirt floor, which most people in New Jersey may have in the older houses, 1902. Would that be something that I could hire you to come out? And
oh, yeah. I would come in and I would do an inspection. And I would tell you the things that I would point out to a buyer.
Okay.
I'd go through your house, and you know, your house is old, and that doesn't mean it's wrong. It means it may not meet today's standards, but that doesn't mean it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Time is a better inspector than all of us. If it, you know, you have beams in your house that could never be allowed to be built the way that way today because we know better, or actually it's different construction techniques. Mm-hmm. And wood is different too because, I mean, they used to build them out of oak, and now they build them out of new lumber, and new lumber shrinks and cracks and different distribution. People put jacuzzi tubs in their bathrooms where they never were before. I mean, I have old homes that they put these big claw tubs in. They, you know, 100 gallons of water weighs 800 pounds.
Yes.
So you put 800 pounds of water in a bathroom that was never designed to hold 800 pounds. You really, yeah, you got to look at what
you're
the floor looks like.
The house, right?
Yeah, and if you got a house that's 200 years old, it may not have any beams underneath it.
Right.
So I look at things like that. I look at safety things, but don't forget, I'm not looking at cosmetics. I mean, I'd look at your basement. I'd say if the thing isn't moving, don't worry about it.
Right.
Because it's not going to move. I mean, time is a better inspector than I am. Your house is going to be there tomorrow. I can't tell you the new house built up the street is going to be there tomorrow because it was just built because it might cave in.
Right.
You don't know. So there's a lot of things like that. The wiring is a concern. Like when an old house, we look at the wiring. Mm-hmm. And we see, do we have copper wiring? Do we have knob and tube? Do we have enough amperage? A lot of old homes had 60 amps or 100 amps, and now they're running air conditioners and dryers and other things that are drawing a lot of amperage. You might need to upgrade your service.
Okay.
So those are some of the things that we point out. We look in the attic. A lot of people don't look in their attic. They've never been in their attic.
I don't think I have an attic.
Yeah. No, you might not because I know your house is a cape and it may not, but there might be a crawl space up or a knee wall up there behind a closet.
Okay.
And I get down on my hands and knees and, you know, I'm not a small man, but I get down there and I crawl through the things and we try to get pictures and we just look for things like that. I mean, I found, you know, in one house I found an infestation of squirrels. There were like three nests in the attic and the squirrels were having a field day up there. There had to be 100 pounds of acorns in the attic.
Oh, my gosh.
Not death-defying, but you know what? That requires sanitation. You got to clean it. People don't understand that. You know, you breathe that stuff. It's not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, those are basic things. But a lot of times it's just basic things. I mean, it's things like safety things. It's things like leaky faucets, corrosion that has to be repaired, hot water heaters that weren't installed. I don't do a code enforcement.
I have D, all of the above at my house.
Well, in code enforcement, something different too, by the way, guys.
I mean, I know those codes.
I'm not allowed to say code. Because I don't do code enforcement. I actually think I do a higher level than code because, don't forget, code inspection is the minimal standard to build a house.
Really? Like the E360? You can go online?
Yeah, but that's all. The building code is the minimum.
Hmm.
I mean, you can get by the minimum, but I'm going to tell you that, okay, it meets code. But you know what? I mean, two steps on your front door, you don't need a railing by code. But I'm telling you, when the mailman falls off it and breaks his ankle, he's going to sue you. Maybe you want to consider a railing. You know, a house that's 30, 40 years old might have railings with 6-inch spaces. Don't have to replace that. That's not code. But if you have small children or you have small children in your house a lot, they get their head stuck in it. They're going to sue you.
Right.
I mean, that's. Yeah, I don't know if you heard that story on the ship this week. A grandfather dropped a baby overboard.
Oh, my God. It was so tragic.
Yeah, can you imagine that grandfather? I mean, he's thinking the window's closed, and the baby goes to put his face on the window like she always does, and she topples out of his hands 11 stories down. I mean, that ship's going to...
That was a story?
The window was open, and he didn't realize the window was open. He thought it was glass, and the kid likes to put her face up in the windows, and she went to do it, and right over the edge. That's the story I heard so far. But still, you know, that ship, you're going to see no windows opening anymore. Unfortunately, because of that, it's going to require that every window be closed, and so now, you know, you got away with this. But, I mean, I look for things like that to tell people, you know, so they know. And I don't mean to put a railing on everything either. I did a house up in... And we're going to go back to you in a minute, but I mean, I did this beautiful house up in Lake Mohawk.
Uh-huh.
And had a beautiful staircase, like a stone staircase wrapped around from the upper deck down to the pool, 6 feet wide, no railing. And it was a good 12-foot drop on some of these stairs, and it was big slates that, you know, blue stone.
No railing.
And you didn't need one, though, because it was so wide, you could stand, you know, but there again, you have small kids there, and they come running down there and go off the edge, you're going to get sued.
Mm-hmm.
Would I put a railing there? No. What I think about maybe putting potted plants or something or try to make a break. But the thing is, I still got to call it out as a safety issue.
Right.
And people get mad at me. I mean, realtors sometimes say, well, you make a big deal. I said, I don't make a big deal. I just tell a story.
So you have to tell them.
If I see it, how can I not see it?
Right.
I'm not supposed to see it?
Right.
And I didn't create that. I didn't build a staircase.
You're supposed to be like my dog. Don't look left.
Yeah, but the trouble with your dog is if he runs left, guess what? He's falling off the edge. He'll never see it either. He'll never see it coming. But, you know, you talked about furniture. Like, what are some of the things that some of your clients that, you know, some of the basic things that they have to do? I mean, one of the things my wife did, tell you the truth, is we were buying a sectional for downstairs. We laid it out in cardboard.
Yeah, very important.
And it's amazing because we were buying a couch that we wouldn't have been happy with because it was just too big.
It's too big. There are sectionals for every size dwelling. They have small or studio sectionals. You have large for man caves. You have sectionals with all the cups and the gadgets and, you know, the side tables.
Electric feet massagers.
You know? Right. It's like being in first class, like Pan Am first class, you know, if that's what you want.
I get the back coach and it doesn't recline.
Exactly. So definitely lay it out. Definitely know your space. And if you don't know how to do it, measure your space. And you can always come into the store and we will do that for you.
You put it in the computer?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because one of the things I find in the store is you lose perspective because, you know, like we were in the Fleming department store looking at chairs and the floor is so big, everything looks small.
Absolutely.
And then I put the tape measure. I said, Lynn, our room is 11.5 wide. This couch is 10.5. I said, at least 10 inches to go around it.
Right. This isn't the 70s.
Yeah.
Just want to run in there on that playpen set.
I thought we could, you know, I said, well, we could jump over the back. You know? I said, your mother might have a problem sitting with us, but that,
that might be bad.
Yeah, but I mean, those are some of the things that, you know, when they're delivering it, you don't want to find that out, I guess.
Mm-hmm. No, you don't.
And, you know, I find that a lot with a lot of people that they don't realize. Like, I do houses and they got a queen size bed. A king size bed is actually smaller than a queen because it's usually two pieces. A lot of queens are one piece, and they're not getting it up the stairs. In my house, you cannot get a queen mattress up the stairs.
Well, a king is one.
No, but it was always – my kings were two separate twins. You can get them in two pieces.
Twin extra large.
Yeah, and they have the two box springs and then the mattress folded in half.
Oh.
But you can get that. But the queens typically are one piece, and the queen was actually bigger than the kings in half. And you can't get it, but you got to know that because I put my queen in my bedroom when I took the windows out when I refurbished my house. Mm-hmm. But when we went to buy a new bed, you know what? We had to buy one of those ones in the box because we couldn't get anything up the stairs.
Oh, yeah. In the box.
And I had to literally take the old box spring and cut it in half with a saw to get it out.
I have a girlfriend, Susie, who is all about the bed in the box. She said it's the most genius thing ever. Yeah. She loves it.
The memory foam is good. I mean, I like it. But we did put it on a box spring, not just on a platform because it's
traditional. You like the memory foam? I'm not a memory foam person. I like traditional mattress.
This one I like. I mean, it's only got a topper on it, which is the nice part. Mm-hmm. And I like it. It stays cool. The first one we had some memory foam, but it made me sweat. Mm. This one's a lot better, but my back is better with it, so I do like it. But
how about water beds? Do you like water beds?
I've never really slept on one. I've seen them and I've been on them, but I've never really slept on one more than a night. You know what I mean? I think I slept on one once in college. You know? So I don't know. I mean, I don't.
They're making a comeback.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, they have a new style or something? I mean, they're not these big sloppy things, are they?
No, it's mostly in case now.
Oh, but
they are coming back.
I just can't say
5 minutes.
Again, I look at all that water and I'm thinking all that weight too. And I'm like, I don't know about that. I don't want to see a leak, you know, in the middle of the night. Maybe my kitchen ceiling will be coming down, right?
Exactly. Like you were talking, don't put a waterbed in a home built in 1902.
Hey, we blew by our first commercial, Tammy, but we're going to come back in a few minutes, so stay with us.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Okay, we're back with Tammy Wysocki here, and we're talking about furniture and equipping your house. So, Tammy, I got some questions for you. You know, open concept is I think it's a misnomer, and I think TV does us an injustice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a sectional for you. and you might be able to help my wife because we're looking for one. But, you know, open concept, I get a kick out of TV because they, you know, and they show you these grand, it reminds me of Friends in the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you ever see the Friends apartment? I mean, if you ever went to New York and had an apartment that big, it cost you like $5,000 a month. I mean, what are these guys were like kids with their first jobs and they had this apartment, you know, and they I know they said it was rent stabilized or whatever, but still. You know, open concept.
That was a great apartment.
Yeah, but open concept is sort of a misnomer because most houses, you can't do it in a sense, or if you do it, you know, you got to talk about major restructuring because houses aren't built for those, or the old ones weren't. Newer ones are. But I also think people oversell the open concept because I know in my house, I mean, the Italians are in the kitchen, and that means my wife's family's in the kitchen. There's about 30 of them.
Right.
And if there's not 30 of them, there's 3 of them, but it sounds like 30 of them. And I'm trying to watch the ball game, and I'm 2 rooms away, and I'm, like, turning the volume up to 50 to hear the game.
Mm-hmm.
If it was open concept, I tell people the man cave was created because of open concept.
Exactly.
Because it chases you away from the living space into your cave because you can't hear anything when you're in an open space like that. Or you turn it up so loud that everybody gets mad at you because they're all talking over it. And my family, who talks the fastest and the loudest gets heard. The rest of us gets, you know, everybody talks at the same time, but the only one that gets heard is the loudest and the fastest. And I can win that most times. But you know,
me too.
I won't admit that to me. Only to you, Tammy. I'm glad
my because we're the loudest.
I'm glad my wife doesn't listen to me on this radio because then she'd be like laughing because she'd be like saying, "I told you so. I told you so. I told
Larry."
Exactly.
That's for you, Len.
Yes. So how do you design open space?
Open space. So
open concept.
So you generally have your kitchen, you have a dining room or eating area, and the living room or great room. You have to have a component in each of the spaces that works together, whether it's wood, whether it's the flooring, whether it's a one common factor, design style for each of the rooms. So if we were to, I brought a little example of this.
You can show it to the camera if you want to.
Okay. So let's say we have a big... This is going to, it doesn't matter, but
Let's
say we have a sectional, and this is now part of an open concept. What you have to do is make sure that we divide the space thoughtfully. So once we have...
Go to Mike.
Mike's right there?
Yeah.
Okay, so once we have a room with a sectional, behind the sectional, we should have a table. The table, it should be a sofa table. Now that is defining the TV space and the living space. And then beyond that, let's say we're heading toward the kitchen, we'll probably run into a dining area. So the dining area now will have at least 6 chairs around it, if not more, but also have the sofa table to be a useful piece of furniture when you're in the dining room as well. So generally you want to have not just a table, but maybe a short little banquette that can be used as a table. And then once we leave the dining area, depending on what the layout of it is, depending on the layout, we're now going to hit an island or a peninsula. From the island and the peninsula, we want to make sure that the bar stools also coordinate with the dining table, which also coordinates with the banquette onto the actual living space where the TV is, where the man cave is, where Larry is plopped watching his shows. So, and lighting really plays, you know, a big factor in this as well.
Which is significant because mm-hmm. you're talking about rewiring and having the lights in such a way that it can be controlled.
And you have hi-hats because it's an open concept, so you're not going to have a lot of electrical in the floor.
Right.
You will have a couple, but you're not going to have them everywhere because you generally are going to have rugs that will cover over those electrical outlets. So you don't want to have too many hi-hats either because then it starts to look like Swiss cheese.
Right.
Which,
right.
you know.
And they're all LEDs now, which are nice because they're nice, smooth, and they're not,
yeah.
they're not, they call them hi-hats still, but they're really not like the old
like
hi-hats.
Like lights or,
yeah, they're very flat and they're recessed lights, but they're not, mm-hmm. they're not hi-hats. But you mentioned electrical on the floor, and that's one of the things that you have to have, and people don't understand the code dictates when you have to have an outlet. And how many feet away from the room. So if you get a big open room, you have to have something in the middle because you can't be running extension cords if you want to put a lamp in the middle.
Right.
But you talked about one of the things that you said before, well, that you sent to me was you look at the ceiling and you look at for damage and stuff like that and water. I mean, so you're actually looking to say, okay, I'm not going to design this room if you've got to protect the room. I mean, it's one of the things I harp on is that the envelope of the house has to be protected because mm-hmm. before you start redesigning the house and putting money into the house, you've got to make sure your roof and your siding and your windows are taken care of. Otherwise, you're not protecting what you're spending.
Exactly. So when I walk into a room, I'm not only there just to measure and look at the obvious. I want to see if there's any water damage on the ceilings, if there are cracks, which could lead to foundation issues, if the floor slopes, if we're going to put in a new hardwood floor. We need to look at the substrate to see how it was originally installed.
Right.
And a lot of the newer houses, they may have just gone right over the cross beams and just built it out. The newer homes, you have your foundation, then you will have another membrane before the hardwood is installed. Mm-hmm. So you want to look at all these different aspects. And again, in older homes, much of the time, if you had a handful of marbles and you just drop them on these floors, the marbles will go in all different directions, which would be great, or they will just collect.
Yeah, they tend to go away from where the beams are. So, like, if you have a beam in the middle, they'll tend to go from the inside out, or because the way the sag, the beams, because they go to such distance. And there's two choices there. I mean, as Tommy Silver will show you on mm-hmm. this on this old house many times, there are times where you can jack that and fix it, and there are times where you can't because you can cause more damage. By lifting a floor, if you're of all, like this house that we're in right now, this chamber, if you were to jack the floor, you're liable to crack all the plaster.
Right.
So you're probably not going to crack. You're going to probably live with an unlevel floor to some mm-hmm. degree. But that's going to make your choice of furniture different because, you know, if you want this 12-foot-long table and you're out three inches, the table's going to look awful stupid at an angle.
Exactly.
And maybe you're better off with a round table with a single pedestal because then it won't be that far off.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely correct.
Right, right. So I mean, those are some things that, you know, I point out to people, but that doesn't mean they're you know, some people say, oh, they got to fix that. I'm like, well, no, they don't have to fix it. I mean, it's not a deficit in a house that's 100 years old. Mm-hmm. It might be a deficit in a house if they built it last week.
Exactly.
But
it's
not in a house that I did a house on the Delaware. It was 229 years old. When you think about it, that thing was built, you know, 229 years ago. It's kind of crazy, right? And, you know, it had a rubble foundation, and the owner was like, well, I'm worried about the foundation. I said, that foundation ain't going anywhere. It's been there for 229 years. It's going to be there tomorrow. I mean, you know, if you see it move, then you got to do something. Mm-hmm. But you talked about the wood floors across the beams. I'm nice to hear mm-hmm. a designer understand that because on TV they're like putting the hardwood down and I'm watching them and they're putting in the same, they're running it the same way the joists run. And guess what? That floor is going to crack and it's going to roll.
Exactly.
Because it's not being supported. And in the beam, the board, that the long board that's on the beam is going to be mm-hmm. fine. The two boards on each side are going to wobble.
Exactly.
And people don't understand. You got to go downstairs and look and see which way the beams are running.
Right. And if they don't want to, if we do find that we do need to support the foundation, to strip out what is there, and it becomes cost effective, like not cost effective, Then we have to come up with prohibitive. So we have to come up with a new solution. Now, what has become super popular in basements as well, and being used as a family room, are vinyl floors.
Right.
Very forgiving, snap in place. It's not like the old school
glue-down tiles.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Glue-down tiles.
I still see a lot of them, trust
me.
Yeah.
This is actually great. Armstrong has a great product, and it is foolproof. You can't even burn these floors. They'll actually show you the advertisements where you could put a hot candle, let the wax just drip over, tip it over, try to light it on fire, and they will not burn.
Wow.
These vinyl floors are just so safe. And I think it's great, actually, for a basement. It's forgiving. You can't destroy it.
And the moisture's not going to affect it.
Not at all.
And you won't grow mold on it, right?
You won't grow mold, and you will. It's most of it is like polypropylene. So most of the time, it will also conform to the waves or the unleveled.
That's the floors. One downside of it, in a sense. I know that if you have a floor that's got puck marks or chips, it translates through. It's like sheet vinyl that you used to put in your kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Any imperfections underneath it. And a good flooring guy is going to look at that, and he might put self-leveler down.
You can do self-leveler.
Or they may sand and just do spot fills like with a body filler.
Right. And this is very thick, too, the newer vinyls. Yeah.
There are times where I look at that, and I literally got to get down on my hands and knees with my awl and actually poke at it to see that it's not wood or ceramic. No, because I'm looking at it and they're saying, is it wood? And I'm like, I don't know.
Right, that's a great design.
I go down in a corner and I have to literally with my little pick and I pick it a little bit to see what it is, because sometimes you really can't tell, especially if it's on a solid surface. I mean, on the wood, sometimes you can feel it, but I've been fooled by it, thinking it's ceramic tile. I mean, and then some of the ceramic tile looks like wood now, too. I mean, my sister just did a whole, she had a big flood in her condo from upstairs.
No.
Oh no! She got a whole revamped her whole condo for free. I mean, I said to her, I said you should do that every 10 years. I mean, you know, because she got a whole new floor. But I mean, now it's a ceramic, but it looks like you say, it looks like long boards. You know?
Yeah, you can generally hear it. It sounds different, vinyl.
Yeah. But sometimes it fools me. That I'm telling you, I get down there and I literally have to, you know, get down there and cheat. You know, I do the same thing.
Good
on the
installation.
Side. Yeah. Yes, you're right. I mean, because if you don't see the seams. So what are some of the things that, you know, something that people should, you know, they can't, not everybody can afford to go in with a designer and pay top dollar in a sense, and you're paying for expertise. And I caution people, don't think that you can't afford it, because you can't afford to buy the wrong furniture and make the mistake either. So sometimes, you know, the old saying, you pay me now, you pay me later, I mean, goes true. But is there something that people should do on their own? I mean, you talk about like your measurements and that, but I mean, is there anywhere they can go to get a rule of thumb or get a idea of how to design, you know, what they should be looking at? I mean,
sure. I mean, there's so many apps available for your smartphones or your PCs or your Macs. First, if you really don't know what you're looking for, you can go on Pinterest and just look at floor plans. And you can find a floor plan that is similar to your house or something that you really are interested in using.
That's a great idea.
It really is. You'll find your style. You'll kind of cut to the chase. Some people don't realize that what they're seeing on Pinterest is going to be their design. You know,
but the good idea there, though, is I would see something I like, and then I'd look at the furniture and say, that's a 36-inch piece. Because otherwise I go to the store and buy the 48-inch piece and wonder why it doesn't look like the one I liked.
Right. So you can go online, and most of the furniture stores online have a design tool that the consumer can use, and it's free of charge. And all they have to do is put in their measurements, their dimensions, and they can pull furniture in that they are selling. And it's really just click and drop, and it's a very helpful tool.
So you could do that with their furniture, and even if you bought it somewhere else, but at least you get an idea what the size of the furniture is.
Yeah, why not?
No, I'm just saying, if you were looking, I mean, because I'm looking at some people saying, okay, I can't afford. Well, at least you get some idea, guys, because I'm telling you, we almost made the mistake. As you're looking at that, and we're saying, okay, it will fit, but then you realize there's only 10 inches around the outside. Try walking around your couch with 10 inches of space. I mean,
this is why you should not be afraid to work with an interior designer. Interior designers not only know the tricks of the trade, they'll fit the room for you with the appropriate furniture and the right size. They will come out to your home. They will listen to you. You will tell them how you want to use the room, and they will find the perfect fittings for you. And don't be afraid of the price, because what they pay is very different than what the regular consumer will pay.
So a lot of times you tell me that their fee is going to be covered by the difference in the price.
It could be. It really could be.
It would be closer than you think. You know?
Yeah. And they're reasonable.
That's interesting because, you know, I had a decorator, not a designer, because she said the difference between designer and decorator, I guess, is she can't move. She's not going to move your walls, but she's going to design your space. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I always thought a designer is for color choices and things like this. And now I'm learning more. It's not only about that, which I have no sense in color. That's, you know, that's my wife's department. But the physical design is a big part of that. And I'm learning that now when I'm doing houses, because when I go to do an inspection of your house and if it's laid out right and it's designed right, I see the ones that are staged right or lived in right, they sell like that. Because you just walk in and you feel, wow. And then you walk into some house and you're like, oh my God, I can't breathe in here.
Can't breathe. There's just too much around. That's bad. You should just always pare down. Minimal. And it's definitely, you know, worth your time to do that.
Your phone is vibrating in our ears. You
I'm
hear that? It's funny.
She's
trying to kill it. And can't. It's alive.
It is alive.
We're going to take a couple minutes here, but we'll be back and we'll wrap up with Tammy. And she, you know, and we'll get Tammy's information. You guys have any questions, I'm sure she'll take an email or take a question. And
absolutely.
She'd be happy to help anybody. I know Tammy, and the Tamster will answer anything. And she'll, you might end up talking longer than you think, but that's all right. You know, from the day I met Tammy, that's been an easy thing to do, talk to Tammy.
Oh, thank you, Larry. You too.
Let's go. Let's go to this commercial, and we'll be right back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right, I'm back, and so is Tammy. But a little shout-out. I see Paula joined us today, but a little shout-out to my uncles this week. Uncle Paul turned 86. I think his birthday is today. So, Uncle Paul, happy birthday out there, and feel better because he had a little fall this week, and I think he's on the road to recovery. But he looked good on Facebook the other night. I saw a picture of him. So, Paul, I'll tell your dad a happy birthday. And also Uncle Greg's this week, and these are both my wife's uncles, by the way. Uncle Greg's this week. I don't know how old Uncle Greg is, tell you the truth, but he's up there, and just wish him happy birthday this week. Hey, Tammy, let's go back to the furniture. Maybe what I want to do is give people some idea what they should do. Like, okay, I want to replace my furniture. What's the first thing? Should you take the measurements of the room?
For the room, I would take measurements, take a couple pictures of the room themselves. I mean, everyone has access to a phone. and to the little camera and just take a couple shots.
So if I walk in the store, you're going to if you had a couple pictures and a couple measurements, it's
so helpful.
It's so helpful.
So helpful.
Okay.
We just get because a picture, you really can't. I mean, you can figure out the scale, but you can't really tell. And also, when you look at that room before you come in, you can. We would be happy to come out and tell you how to edit if you need it to. If that's what we needed to get rid of a few pieces of furniture, but most importantly,
so when you mean edit, you mean slim, get rid of stuff.
Yeah,
minimize. I mean,
if you want to, let's say, redo an entire room, I would come out. We would discuss it. You bring the pictures in, and I would ask you about all those pieces. What pieces do you plan on keeping? What pieces do you want to keep and work into a new design? And that is most important because people just get a little bombarded by the amount of furniture that they have in a space or in a room. So I would just have them come in, bring in the pictures, have, discuss what pieces they want to keep, and then we'll start talking about the new furniture that you want to purchase.
Let me ask you, though, something that it takes me off sometimes when I watch HGTV shows is that, you know, they'll show like a bookshelf and they put like three books on it. You know, I mean, you know, some of it I think is unrealistic because it looks good, don't get me wrong, and it's beautiful when they're done, but that's not life.
That's staging.
Yeah, I mean, and that's not true life because, you know, magazines get built up in my house. Books get built up in my house. You know, it's funny, when we did our kitchen over, there's 21 drawers in my kitchen, and I said there are going to be 19 junk drawers and two utensil drawers. Today, we have 19 junk drawers and two utensil drawers. I mean, you know, there are things that the life gets in the way. I mean, can you help people plan for that? Because life does get in the way, and it's not perfect. I mean,
it just that just happens. So to help you plan with something like that, who is the new woman that's on that teaches you how to pare down? There's a woman that if it gives you harmony, keep it. If it brings you love, keep it. Otherwise, just get rid of it. So it's time to get rid of those stacks of magazines.
Because there's a big difference between hoarding and living.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I always say a house that's my house was never, well, growing up, my house was never perfect. It was lived in, but it was never dirty. And that's the difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, my mother's house was spotless.
And it was a happy house.
But it was lived in. And you'd walk in and you'd trip over stuff, like the kids' stuff would be everywhere.
That's cleats.
Just the, you know, yeah. There's cleats, clothes, you know, the laundry would pile up. But, you know, it happened. You know what I mean? But with five kids, there wasn't, everybody didn't have their own bedroom, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always get upset when they show you that. I'm saying, how realistic is that to live in?
Right. It's not. I mean, we all live differently. And if you are somebody that has a lot of stuff around, you probably want to have a lot of closets, a lot of doors, an ottoman, let's say, that opens up and becomes storage unit. You want to be able to put all those blankets away that you normally would pull out when you are watching TV.
Yeah, exactly, because at night there's three or four blankets, even when it's summertime, because they're underneath the cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just soft, it's comfortable, so you want to snuggle up with that. And so maybe that would be a really good purchase to kind of start your way into straightening out your house and concealing.
Okay. So just so you know, Tammy, if you come to my house, what brings me love and harmony is my chair. And it ain't going anywhere. It's an oversized, you know, recliner.
Leather.
Recliner. Yeah, it's leather, but you know what? The head, my kids laugh because there's a blanket in the back of it because my head has worn a hole in it. You know, I mean, the grease and the cracked and all, you know.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, but you can't see it, but you know what I mean? Because it's got a blanket on it all the time. Mm. But like I told you, it's never empty, though. It's funny how that is. I mean, everybody complains about it, but it's never, ever empty because it's the perfect seat to watch the TV on.
Oh, thanks, Larry. On the game. Thanks for sharing.
Yes.
Mind me never to sit in that chair.
No, you can, as long as I'm not there, you can sit in it. So it's interesting that you said that about the roof, and it's amazing because, I mean, how many people don't do that. They don't take stock of the room and what condition it's in before you start spending thousands of dollars on furniture. You know, putting a piece of furniture underneath the cracked ceiling that the bathroom's above may be a mistake, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Let me ask you something. Maybe you can answer this for me. Warranties or insurance policies on furniture, worth it or a waste of money?
Worth it because it's... Most of them, like Guardsmen, that is an accidental insurance plan. Totally worth it. You have an issue, you call in that problem, they will come out and fix it. It's a roll of the dice for them. Most people will not even have an issue, let's say, with a brand new reclining chair. You've been using it for months, and suddenly the leg got stuck, or the reclining part got stuck. You call them up immediately. It got stuck. They will be out there the next day. They will repair it, and that investment.
Nice.
Yeah, no questions asked.
So it's something that would be really worthwhile.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially if kids, I would assume, because, you know, kids are notorious for not being careful.
Right.
We had insurance policy on ours. You know, we bought our furniture from Rosen's in Stroudsburg.
Mm.
And a very good store, nice people there and everything else.
They're very nice.
They have since gone out of business. I mean, after like 45 years or something. But, you know, one of the things they offered was this great insurance policy. If you didn't use it in 5 years, too, you got your money back.
Interesting.
But you had, you know, in a credit, you know, and you had to buy furniture again.
Right.
But
right.
It was funny because in 5 years,
they brought you back.
Yeah, and you're almost ready to buy furniture. The trouble is they went out of business, and I had these three policies that are worthless because there ain't nobody to collect them from. But it reminded me of like rust proofing. You know, the companies go out of business all the time because they never pay off. But
right.
That's why I asked you. I mean, so it's a bit. So the
better
companies.
They've been in business a very long time.
Yeah. So those are independent insurance companies in a sense, not just associated with, say, your particular store.
Correct.
Okay. So do you advise it on every piece, or do you strategically buy it on certain things, or does there a cross line where all of a sudden it's worth it for that piece and maybe not for other ones, or how much money you have, I guess?
Okay. I would base it on how much you're spending.
Okay.
So it's like anything else. If you spend $10,000, you're going to spend the $400 on the insurance. Because no questions asked, they will come out and repair it.
Or replace it, right?
Or replace it. If you're vacuuming and you nick that dining room table leg and a piece comes off, they will come out, they will repair it, no questions asked. Yeah.
And I'm amazed. I saw some repair. I mean, I had some work done on some new furniture we bought. It was Autumn House stuff, and it was some pretty expensive stuff. And they come out, and it's amazing what they can do, and the little techniques that, you know. And I'm a woodworker, and I'm still amazed at watching them, you know, fill a spot and stain it, and then you could never see the problem.
Right. It's a skill.
Yeah, it's like a magic trick. I mean,
right.
It's like they get done, like, where's the chip, you know? I mean, or we had a cushion that wasn't working right, and they come out, and they actually replaced the foam inside, and it was great because one of them just wasn't. You sat on it. It was different than the other three. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's great. I mean, I just think it's definitely worth the investment.
Okay. That's good. I'm glad I asked that because, I mean, I always look at those things and I say, should I buy it? And it's funny because I just got my truck this morning. I had a service and I had bought an oil plan where you get free oil changes. And I get their invoice and it's like $72 by the time they rotate the tires and the artificial oil and all that. And then it says zero. They're like, man, that was a good purchase. But if you never use it, sometimes you feel like it. But I guess it's all a matter of comfort. It's like my software advises people to look at a home warranty when they're buying a new house because you've got all that expense up front when you buy the house. The last thing you want to get hit with a month after you get in there is the air conditioner. And then most people look at the home inspector and say, why didn't you know that was going to – you know, air conditioners are like light bulbs. They work until they don't.
Right.
They don't just fade. They work, and all of a sudden one day they just don't go on. So sometimes, you know, that helps you the first year, at least, even if the stuff is older, to not have to swallow that extra bill until you're...
Absolutely. No one wants the added expense. You know, you don't want to, you know, suddenly have to replace,
A good purchase turns into a sour purchase real fast, right?
Absolutely.
Great.
So, really good point.
You want to leave your name, your number, and your information about your company?
Tammy Wysocki, and my number is 973-618-6159. And again, if you just want to discuss a couple projects, I'm happy to do that. Happy to come to your home and help you with any furnishing needs, which would really be the primary goal here.
Okay. Well, we're running late, and I think my next show will be coming in after us. Hey, guys, tune in a couple of weeks. I got a realtor coming in from Weichert. And next week I'm working on somebody, but I can't tell you yet. But I hope you enjoy the show. If you have any questions for Tammy, or even if you send them to me, I will forward them to Tammy. But hope you learned something today, and hope it was entertaining. I had a good time.
I mean, I did too.
You know, everybody worries about coming on the show, and it's like 42 minutes with the commercials and everything. And I tell you what, I could talk for another 2 hours, but I actually have to get to a home inspection here in Flemington. So have a good week, guys. Be safe. Be healthy out there. And tell somebody you care about them, will you? Have a good weekend. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Larry.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, Your Ameriprise financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is spending part of his Friday in Wisconsin. The president participated in a roundtable with supporters. Wisconsin resident Brian Smith was one of those who lined the streets to greet the president.
It's not every day that the president comes to your town, so I made an opportunistic, I was out here, so I made it happen.
And a cool feeling for you.